That maniac. That guy's a maniac. Ah, now I'm coming up on a moron. Ah, okay. Hey, gang. Welcome to the show, National Bugle. No. National, what do you call it? What do you call it when you're in traffic and you have... National Road Rage. No, National Bugle Road Rage. That's it. Welcome to National Bugle Road Rage on the Road Rage Broadcasting Network, RBN, or I guess that would be RRBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the highway of free speech. Why? Because, of course, because I had recorded a show today with Paul Stevenson, and for whatever reason, Skype's not working. I can't download it. I can't process it. If I can't download the recording with Paul, then I can't send it on to RBN. So anyway, so I'm going live, but I'm working. I'm going from one meeting to another. And, I think this will work. I think it'll work. But, so go to republicbroadcasting.org, send badly needed gas money. Send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Okay. So I've recorded shows from my car before. I'm doing it live today. Don't try this at home. It's not advised. And at some point, you might hear screams and crashing sounds. That's the great risk that we're taking. And I'm on speakerphone in a car, so it's not the best quality. But these are the great lengths that we, the good people at RBN, go to in order to send you badly needed content, because honestly, it's hard to find good content out there. It really is. When, I know that I could do a better job probably finding good content, but it's not easy. And where are you going to find people who talk about what's important and then analyze it without adhering to taboos about not talking about what's really going on? It's not easy. And so I do my best. I try my hardest, and some people appreciate it, others maybe not quite so much, but we do this now. All right, so this will be a call-in show. I do have the call-in number memorized. The call-in number is 1-800. No, it's not. It's not 1-800. There is a 1-800 number. I used to have it memorized, but I don't anymore, and I'm not gonna say it. The 1-800 number, most of you guys, you've got free minutes and whatever. So call 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Oh, now we're coming up on a traffic jam. So don't try this at home. You can call me up. I know that down the road a couple of miles, I'm going to be going through a dead zone. It doesn't last long. It's about 10 seconds. I would have just called for a moment of silence, and I probably will. But anyway, so Paul and I, we did a recording, and we talked all about this potential Tucker Carlson interview of Vladimir Putin. You'll hear that tomorrow. What else is going on? Well, you've got one of the other things, an ongoing topic, is the legalization of black crime, and the not just the legalization of it, but now the complete incentivization. We have had, and not just crime, but dysfunction. Dysfunction and assorted shortcomings. So we have recently, I mean, okay, so we have numerous cases around the country where blacks who were arrested for rioting are being now richly rewarded because the police who arrested them didn't get their prior consent or whatever it is that's required. So there was another case of some guy in which city was it? Was it Las Vegas? It was somewhere. This is just in the past day or two, and he got rewarded very richly for, he wasn't tased, I guess for tear gas or something. You've had big cases in a variety of cities. St. Louis, and you know, these are places. Oh, St. Louis, there was the case that was from like the Ferguson riot days, and dozens of people who were arrested then have gone back and sued, and they're getting about $40,000 each. But it goes beyond compensating rioters. Now, meanwhile, of course, people in the Capitol, I mean, we've got several hundred people, something like 500-600 people, maybe more, but it's several hundred people who were arrested on January 6th. Now, there were a few who were involved in scuffles, all right? But the vast majority of the people arrested were not involved in scuffles. They walked in when the police opened the doors and waved them in. And, you know, this is just the biggest outrage. Such a thing would happen. And these people are just wasting away. They're not getting trials. So you've got that. So there's that whole two-tier justice system that more and more people are talking about. But then a few weeks ago, you had in New York City a big case what was the overall settlement? I mean, it was like $2 billion or something for people who had failed examinations to get teacher's licenses. They failed the examination. Well, now they're going back and saying, well, the examination was racist because it expected people to know things. It expected a certain level of intelligence, and therefore it was racist. You know, this type of, like, I know I've repeated this several times. This is the type of thing that really should get people's attention. And I think most people have not heard of it. But people who failed the examination are getting compensated bigly as if they had worked for years and years getting up at, you know, public schools start early, right? If you're a high school teacher, maybe your high school starts at 7:30. What time are you waking up to get there? You know, are you the teachers have to be there presumably half an hour early. I'm not a big fan of public school teachers for reasons that are probably pretty obvious. But the one thing I will hand them is they get up early in the morning and they go to work. You know, they go to work at least, I don't know, how many school days are there? There's only like 180 school days. Most full-time jobs, you're working about 250 days a year. Teachers might only be working 190 days a year. So they do get a lot of time off. But still, A, they're waking up early. It is an early job. And then B, they're dealing with the public schools. First of all, the students are majority non-white nowadays, majority non-white. And the black students in many areas are extremely unruly. And in some cases, you know, even though I'm pretty sick of public school teachers in general, you could make the case that they're more deserving of combat pay than some of the troops we've had occupying other countries, at least more than the officers. I know the enlisted men, they're more entitled than a lot of the high-ranking officers, perhaps. Anyway, so these people who failed examinations to get teaching licenses in New York City a dozen years ago, 15, maybe 20 years ago, are being rewarded as if they had gone to work every day, gotten up early every day, and in some cases are even getting like back pensions for the pensions that they would have if had they actually worked. So, I mean, that's insane. Now, and this is, I haven't read the article from the Daily Stormer. I did notice it was up there. And in a way, is it even new? Maybe the level of, what do you say, being straightforward about it is new, but is it Nevada? It's somewhere out west. Maybe it's Portland. It's somewhere out there. And the schools are saying, you know, right out front that they're going to introduce equity in grading. Nobody can get zeros. This has been going on for a long time. And as a matter, I mean, it's just one more form of affirmative action. So, anyway, callers, you've got 512-248-8252. We have Don in Arizona. Don, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick.
Hey, Don, what's on your mind today?
Well, you're talking about black people now. One thing that most whites do not understand is it's genetic. They're not very smart because it's genetic. It is genetic. Just like you have breeds of dogs, the Airedale is supposedly the smartest dog, and some dogs are not very smart. But they're persistent. They have some dogs. The races have different traits. Intelligence is one of them. The blacks have the lowest IQ of all the races. And Americans, do not know that, or they will not accept that, and they think, well, there's always some other explanation. They just have a bad cards dealt to them, or something like that, and they just can't. They're trying to make the best of it. It's just their environment, but it's not the environment. The thing is, if we could come to an understanding on that. But you're talking about why they should always be in Harvard Law School and all this kind of junk. We just had one appointed to the Supreme Court because mm-hmm. she was black, and she likes pedophiles. She didn't have one. She wanted lenient sentencing for pedophiles. But yeah, I mean that's one.
What's her name? Something Shaniqua Jackson, Kwame Jackson, or something.
I don't know what her name is, but she. They asked her when she was. The hearing, they asked her to define woman, and she said, "No, I'm not a biologist. I can't define."
Yeah, you have to be a biologist to know what a woman is.
But yeah, but that's a kind of a bad thing. There, the white people do not understand that because the mainstream media will never say that. They'll never say that there's a genetic difference of anything. Although black people seem to dominate the. NBA.
Yeah. Well, so you raised the NBA, and the thing is, obviously, two individuals can have different intelligence, right? And so within whites or within any group, you're going to have some people who are high IQ, some people who are low IQ. You have a distribution, the bell curve, and within blacks, you have a distribution, and you'll find some blacks who are intelligent. But the thing is, if you're looking at for people with, say, a 110 IQ, there's just going to be the IQ distribution was...
Or 140. What if you're looking for an I-40 IQ? How many blasts?
Yeah. So, like, at 115, okay, at 115, supposedly you're going to have, what is it? You're going to have about 16% of whites above 116, I mean, above an IQ of 115. You're only going to have about, like, 3% of blacks above 115, something like that. It's so the black average is lower.
My experience, I'm in Mensa. I'm in the top 2%. So that's the IQ of a little over 140. And I've talked to people in Mensa about this. Have you ever seen a black person in Mensa? I never have. And they say, some of them will say, yeah, I saw that one guy.
Yeah, I know a black woman who's a member of Mensa. And she's got dark skin, but she's got very Caucasoid facial features for the most part. But she's got dark skin and kinky hair. So who knows? Maybe the intelligence genes are near the facial genes. I don't know. But the reason we don't talk about it, because it's mean and it's insulting. But you mentioned the NBA. And, of course, in the aughts, the tallest player in the NBA was a Chinese guy named Yao Ming. So he was the tallest guy in the NBA. Does that mean that Chinamen are on average as tall or taller than blacks? No, it doesn't. They're shorter. So you might find that black Mensa person, but that's still, you can have a black person smarter than most white people, but that still doesn't negate that there's about a 15 point IQ differential or one standard deviation. Hey, we're coming up towards the break. Do you want to hang on to the other side?
Okay.
Hey, have you ever met an Australian Aborigine?
I don't know.
They actually,
I've traveled in Asia. I might probably run into one or two of them before, but I can't remember any of them.
We'll be back after the break.
Okay.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Back to the show. Those are the smooth sounds of Filbert Applebag. All right, so Don, I mentioned Aborigines, and
right. Yvonne Googalong was one of the famous ones. Yvonne Googalong. She was a tennis player.
Yeah, Yvonne Googalong. She was part Aborigine. She was a tennis player. She's probably the most famous. And she was kind of cute too, actually. She was maybe the most famous Aborigine. So the Aborigines, you said that the blacks are the race with the lowest IQ, and out of the races in the United States, or the major races, they've measured the lowest. But you've got Bushmen, you've got Pygmies, you've got right. Aborigines who, they measure lower. And I have had the experience of meeting Aborigines, and you know, it's spooky. I've been to Alice Springs in central Australia near Ayers Rock a couple of times, and then 100 kilometers north of Alice Springs, there's some settlement, some mission. It's like a Christian mission, and I've been up there, and you know, once at what was it? At an amusement park in Queensland, I talked to a guy who, you know, he might have been somewhat mixed, but he was pretty Aboriginal looking, and he was just like a regular person. We were talking about things. He was a musician of some Aboriginal instrument, and you could just talk to him like somebody, a regular guy. Now, he's just walking around sweeping. He was sweeping stuff, so he didn't have any kind of high-powered career, and as a musician, that's not like steady work. The Aborigines, you know, they weren't agriculturalists, they weren't herders, they were hunter-gatherers until, 200 years ago or so. So they have what evolutionary advantage would there be to an Aborigine to be able to sit in at a desk or in a cubicle, in a classroom, in an office for 8 hours a day, or for doing anything else for 8 hours a day? They're not good at that. And they just, you know, I talked to the guy at the mission, and he was talking about attendance rates at schools, and he was happy because attendance rates had gone up from 30% to like 55%. People, meaning that kids were going 55% of the time or school, something like that. And if you're a hunter-gatherer, first of all, there's no sense of property. Why would you have a sense of
property? You still there? Hello, you still there? Are you still there?
Hey, I'm going.
I understand what you're saying, but they could have. they didn't have to be hunter-gatherers. They could have evolved some. I mean, a lot of people were hunter-gatherers. And
right.
They changed. They became, they still had a civilization. They changed their mind, and they said, well, I guess we'll start being something else instead of hunter-gatherers. But, I mean, I got nothing against Aborigines. I think outside of intelligence, as far as mathematical, which is mathematical and verbal skills and logical skills, I think my understanding is they have some psychic ability, kind of like psychic abilities or something like that. They can, by stretching the truth there, I mean, they have some kind of supernatural. I mean, they can kind of sense when their cousin died that's 100 miles away or something like that. That's my understanding. I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't know anything about that, but they do have abilities we don't. I mean, there's
right.
things that, if not abilities, there are things that, so what the men did at this place is from time to time, if they wanted some money in order to get liquor or whatever, they would go out into the outback and they would track down horses because
right.
they can do that. They can track animals. And, you know, it's very possible that people, that Bushmen or pygmies or whatever, it's very possible that they might be a lot better at distinguishing
yeah.
between various plants.
But the thing
For
is,
us,
you know, we're talking about life now, modern life, you know, where...
My point's not to make excuses for them, but just saying that, you know, this is what they have inherited from their history. And so there was no... For us, if we don't want to die of poisoning, we need to read labels, right? We need to read labels. If they don't want to die of poisoning, they need to distinguish between different plants, right? And Aborigines have a very poor aptitude for reading. They've never had to do it.
Have you ever met an American that can't read? You have to be pretty smart to get through life if you can't read. Think about that. You have to be able to drive a car and just kind of think about that. I'll see you later. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call, and I'll be back after the break.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Nagila, what a tune. It's a nice tune. Okay, we had a caller and apparently he's dropped, so it's back to me and you in the road. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that there was some maniac going fast and then some moron going slow. Actually, there wasn't. There was just me and the highway and the roadkill, and I just passed by a couple of dead deer. I did a whole show, or half a show, on roadkill a couple of weeks ago. There's a lot of it. The maniac and moron thing, or maybe it's maniacs and idiots, that's from George Carlin. So George Carlin had a routine where he talked about anybody who drives faster than you is a maniac, and anybody who drives slower than you is a moron, or maybe it's an idiot. It was one or the other. And, you know, one of the things about the United States and about Americans is, you know, people talk about the love affair with the automobile. It is our main transportation device. And when you're in your automobile, as I am right now, you're insulated from the rest of the world. And what do you see? Do you see other people? No, I see some guy's arm. Some guy's got his arm sticking out the window, but otherwise I'm just seeing vehicles. And so you can yell and you can have road rage. And like every now and then, not every now and then, actually I hardly ever do this, but you know, it's a nice warm day. And if you're on a two or three lane highway, you pass by somebody and their window's open, you can look over at them. And a lot of times they notice that you're looking at them and they don't like it. So we're in these cars. What does this do to society? I mean, usually I like to talk about other things that are destroying society. But you look at somebody, they don't like to be looked at. And, you get road rage. Now, by contrast, in countries where they have public transportation, Europe and Asia. I was in Seoul, South Korea, not too long ago. Saw Ryan Dawson while I was there. And they've got a very extensive subway system. And the thing is, when you're riding the subway, you're looking at each other. You're right there. Now, of course, we have places like that in New York. In New York, I guess you're riding on the subway and you're not looking at each other because it's so scary. And that goes back to the black crime thing. Yeah, when you're riding on the subway in New York, you're keeping your eyes to yourself. But if you're in in Seoul, where they don't have a massive crime problem, yeah, you can look at other people. And so what does it do to society where, you know, you're free to just scream at other people, hate other people while you're on your daily commute? You can just hate other people. I don't really have a daily commute for the most part, which is good, which is probably why I can maintain my sanity and my very nice personality. But, and I've never had to actually have, I do a lot of driving, but it's not like a daily commute type of thing where I got to, usually it's not where I got to be at a certain place at a certain time. I haven't had to do that on an extended basis. I've worked out of the house, or I've worked in walking or biking distance, or I've been able to take public transportation usually. So that's a big plus. It's different. What does it do to society where you're, for much of the day, you are free to just like hate other people and scream you're in your little box, your little car, and you're free to scream, and everybody else is either a maniac or an idiot. I don't know. What does it do? What does it do indeed? Okay. Where do we go from here? Hey, I got Michael from Delaware. That's what we're going. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. What's on your mind, Michael?
Well, okay, so...
Nothing here by the road, by the way.
I have difficulty talking because I'm autistic and schizophrenic and stuff, and so this is, I don't normally do this kind of thing, but I'm just curious about them. So I've been really into Nazi ideology for a long time. I got into it back when I was in high school.
Got into what? Excuse me one second. What did you get into in high school?
I got into, like, I don't know, like, Nazi stuff. I don't know what term to use. I'm sorry.
All right.
And, you know, like, the kind of stuff you talk about, like, I noticed that, like, I would want to research it and do all these things, and like, but I noticed that, like, almost universally, the people that were promoting this stuff, this like Nazi stuff and stuff like that, were really against pedophilia. And, you know, I never quite understood that because, like, you know, I always really was, you know, into that kind of stuff. And I guess I never, like, I don't know.
Into what kind of stuff? Into what kind of stuff?
Like, I guess, like, what I'm saying is, like, I guess, like, I'm trying to understand, like, obviously these things aren't, maybe, I know I'm just a stupid guy, but, like, I'm just trying to understand why these things aren't as, like, why they're incompatible is what I'm saying, like.
Okay, so I'm trying to make sure I understand what you're saying. Why Nazism and pedophilia are not compatible? Why they are incompatible? Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, I think pedophilia in general is not very compatible with civilization. I think it's... evolutionarily and I don't know, in terms of civilization, that it's what might be described as maladaptive. It doesn't produce good results. There are a lot of things that can go wrong with it. For one thing, I guess for whatever reason, there's trauma associated. People who have been on the receiving end, children who have been involved in pedophilic relationships, experience trauma, which then makes it more difficult for them to function properly in society and reproduce and this and that. So there's that aspect of it. As for people who are interested in Nazis or Nazi what was it called National Socialism and whatnot. National Socialism arose in Germany in the 1930s in the wake of a very disrupted social order in Germany in the 1920s that included all sorts of when I was growing up would have been considered sexual perversions. And so I think because of that, the historical time that that National Socialism arose in Germany, it was in part a response to a lot of society coming apart or society losing its traditional norms, part of which are kind of evolutionarily determined, perhaps. And you know, one aspect of the social collapse was things like transsexualism and pedophilia and things like that. So does that make any sense to you?
I guess I'm just like, I don't know. This is really difficult, you know? Like, I'll hear people say, women should be encouraged to be like wives and mothers, mm-hmm. but they shouldn't like be pedophiles. And I'm trying to understand the exact,
well,
like, you get what I'm saying here, like,
yeah, okay, so. I mean, if you think about it, if women are wives and mothers, they're going to have children. Typically, children with two parents grow up and do well, function well in society, and reproduce. And especially right now, I mean, the white countries and the East Asian countries, too, have extremely low birth rates. We're not reproducing ourselves. And in the white countries in particular, we're having people from other parts of the earth, of different backgrounds, of different races, of different cultures, come in and do our reproducing for us. Well, that's not sustainable. So, the pedophilia, likewise, like I said, people who have been involved in pedophilia at either end are going to be less likely to be able to reproduce and function well in society. So I think that's it. And I appreciate your call. I do have one more caller. If there's something, one other thing that you can express quickly or want to ask, go ahead before I go on to the next caller.
No, I guess that's it. I'm sorry. I guess I thank you though for your time.
Hey, I appreciate your call, and those are legitimate questions. And thanks, and call back sometime. Okay, next we go to Joe in Florida. Joe, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dr. Slattery, keep your eyes on the road there. We don't want any accidents.
I'm sitting out now.
Okay, good. So I'm going to throw out an idea, and do you tell me, I want to get your feedback on this. Is it just wishful thinking on my part? But here's the scenario, speaking about the Jewish war against Ukraine, I mean against Russia, Jewish war against Russia. So I don't know if you saw the story, a former CIA analyst who says he's predicting that Zelensky will be overthrown by a segment of the Ukrainian military within the next 2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I only trust that he's a CIA analyst, but he's a former CIA analyst. So that's the only reason I give him the credit, if he's former, if you can be former. But here's my idea. So what are the odds, again, maybe it's wishful thinking, Zelensky, right, gets overthrown by other thugs, Ukrainian thugs running that regime. But among the things that happen is more detailed, specific information about the bribery of President Braindead becomes public. You know, information that Shokin and others that are still in Ukraine have, and other forces that may have been covering it up because they're connected to Zelensky. That opens up. And then it's on the theme of all narratives collapsing at the one time. You know, total defeat for these Ukrainians once they overthrow Zelensky. I think that's a good sign. And then as a result of that, more information comes out that absolutely even the most blind Republican or Democrat in the U.S. Congress could not ignore about the bribery of Joe Biden and his son. What do you think?
Well, regarding the possibility of Zelensky being overthrown by his military back in, I guess, June? Was it June of last year? I started saying that, this could happen at any time. Well, it's been over a year.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, it's been over a year, and it hasn't happened yet. So if anything, I'm surprised it didn't happen sooner. I would not be surprised if it happened. The only thing that would surprise me is that it took this long. And because I thought it was going to happen a lot sooner. I'm not an expert on the Ukrainian military. You hear about like one general Zaluzhny, and you hear about him. What kind of general would just be okay with watching his troops get thrown into a meat grinder for 18 months straight with no prospect of any kind of victory?
Really?
So. Yeah. What else did you ask me to address?
No, I mean, just it's my wishful thinking that if Zelensky's overthrown, it might reveal more information that could be totally undeniable about the bribery that this president. I'm convinced, really, that one of the main reasons why he is president is because of that bribery. In other words, you could look at it as a sort of Jewish tyranny, world Jewish tyranny rule, right? They don't care what president it is, Democrat or Republican. You can see, in fact, when Trump even hinted at the idea that he was going to hold up the money to Ukraine for weapons, they staged a fake impeachment on him. Not that he ever held up the money. As I remember, that money was never held up. But to me, that's like the prime evidence that we're not really looking at, you know, political debates between Republican this president or a Democrat president. We are looking at the moves of a global world Jewish tyranny who are dead set on this war against Russia. And they will literally stop at nothing. I think there's a quote from Tucker on Twitter and something, not that Tucker's the greatest authority, but the opinion is that they will gladly bring us into World War III in order to stop attacks on Biden or whatever. I just think that my hope is, again, maybe it's wishful thinking, all of these narratives could collapse at the same time because they're all linked. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think that, you know, the idea that I don't think they want World War III, but I do think when I say they, who is they? And I do think that to an extent, what you see is what you get. A lot of people might think much more is being decided behind the scenes, and what you see in front of the scenes are people just following out instructions. I actually think that Victoria Nuland is the prime architect of this. And she's not a genius. She's not retarded, but she's not a genius. And I think that they planned that, like, she probably wanted to do this back in 2014, do something like this. And Putin wasn't invading. Putin was, he was very restrained. And of course, Victoria Nuland was the U.S. ambassador to NATO. So she's got this connection with NATO. She was ambassador back in like 2008.
And, right.
I think that she had a plan to corner Russia into an invasion that could then be used as an excuse for unprecedented economic sanctions. And because these sanctions really were unprecedented, seizing a major power's money and all of this stuff, excluding them from SWIFT and all of this stuff, bombing the pipeline, which wasn't an official sanction, but we know who did it. I think the idea was to cause so much economic upheaval in Russia that the Russians would overthrow the government. And it became clear. And key to that would be to have China in particular and the whole world going along with the sanctions. And when China didn't, I mean, that plan wasn't going to succeed. But if you're Victoria Nuland personally, you don't have an off-ramp for that. You can't do something right, so dramatic and then walk it back. Now, if this was all being decided behind the scenes and she was just carrying out, she was just an agent of other people, then I think this they would have backed out of this war a long time ago. The people making the decisions are the people that we see, and they don't personally have a way to back out. Henry Kissinger's not a good guy, but Henry Kissinger was trying to find an off ramp over a year ago. But
yeah,
he's not.
And Jeffrey Sachs is the same example.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I guess if I can say so, I don't. To me, it's like the hive mind. I agree. There's people hiding under a volcano, making secret meetings. But it reeks of the Jewish mentality. It's like the Iraq War in 2003. What were they saying? Remember these people that were also the neocon Jews? Oh, it's going to be over in 6 weeks, and as soon as we go in there and we overthrow, we're going to have an uprising. The Iraqis are going to be, it's this kind of very myopic Jewish worldview, and they don't really understand the way things, really work in the world. I'm not saying all Jews, but these Jews that have this power, they're bent on revenge, and their revenge and their psychopathy prevents them from being in touch with reality to see, here's what could be done, but don't insist on things which are literally impossible. Like, for instance, defeating Russia in a nuclear conflict. This is what some of these people believe now. And because of their psychopathy, Jewish psychopathy, they are actually bringing us into World War III. They must be stopped. They must be removed from power. People like Victoria Nuland.
Yeah, and it's not just that they need to be removed from power, but the Jewish element of this, that has to be discussed openly. You look at World War I, World War II. Were they miscalculations? I think to a large extent they may well have been miscalculations. A lot of people tend to look back at history and just assume whatever happened was planned. It was planned that way. And I don't necessarily think so. I don't necessarily think that there was a plan to bring the world into world war. I don't think there is a plan to bring the world into world war now, but they're willing to do these risky things. It may be miscalculations. We could wind up going into World War III, which would be bad for everybody, or they could wind up being exposed. If you had somebody like Trump or Putin or who else? I mean, who else is under attack? I was talking about Giuliani with Jeremy the other day. If people started actually talking about the Jewish nature of what's going on, it's easy enough to prove it. People could be convinced. But honestly, most people, even most smart people who watch the news every day, don't know that Tony Blinken or Victoria Nuland are Jewish. And the people who do know talk in euphemisms.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. It's not over. It's not every single thing is planned. But actually, if you want to look at it, the history shows that because they take things too far, then ultimately they do get defeated. So, I'm a Christian, and maybe I'm an optimist, but I actually believe that as dangerous as the position they're putting us into, they are susceptible to being exposed and being stopped.
Hey, if you've been kicked out of countries 109 times, the possibility of a 110th time is always there, right? It's always
there.
You
might get a clue after a while, but apparently not. But we'll see.
And I'm not trying to kick them out of anywhere. All I wanted to do is subject them to the same level of critique that we as white people have been subjected to our entire lives. I think that's fair. Okay.
Amen.
Thank you for joining me, Joe, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.